cannabis.
Sativa.
Dope.
Indica.
Weed.
Leaf. This is Leaf Life. All things cannabis for all people. Now, here are your hosts, Ricker and the Bearded Lorax.
We publish a free magazine called The Leaf that is available in print in 13 states at your local cannabis retailer and also available online for free at leafmagazines.com. My name is Mike Ricker, and I'm your host of Leaf Life with my co-host, Wes Abney, also known as the Bearded Lorax.
I speak for the trees.
And there's Stashley,
the token female.
And Mary J. White,
the smoking female.
Every September, the most infamous event that appears for 9 days in the Nevada desert gains the curious spotlight of the conventional world. But after 36 years of successfully presenting a surrealistic experience of an alternative society, why is it still not taken seriously? This is Burning Man,
the desert transformation.
I think a lot of people take it seriously, dude.
Shut up, Stash. Okay. No, I mean the establishment. Why doesn't society take cues from us, Stash? Why are you causing problems so early in the show?
A lot of people take it very seriously.
Yeah, like 50,000.
Yeah.
But we're talking about the world. Okay. 8 billion.
The whole world.
That's a small sect. So, our first segment is What is the Burn? Our second segment, The Role of Cannabis.
Nice.
But before we get educated, we got to get medicated, so let's get stoned. All right, funnest part of the show? No, definitely not. Funnest part is talking about Burning Man and getting in arguments with Stash. That's fun.
Yes, that's fun.
So wherever your day has led you, now it's time to fire up, chew up, drink up, whatever you got to do to get the cannabinoids in your system. As we introduce this show's Greg the Guinea Pig.
Hi, I'm Greg, and Ricker used to try his weed out on me. But now it's someone else's turn to be the guinea pig.
In case you're a newcomer to the Leaf Life podcast, here after show 200, that's a lot of shows, Greg the Guinea Pig was a guinea pig I had in college, and we used to blow big, fat, giant, juicy, jiggly bong hits into the cage, and he had a little lazy boy in there, a little flat screen TV, he had some wood chips that, nice. You know, he made into like a little bed area and stuff. Yeah. So, you know, in honor of Greg, who now lives in the Bahamas in a retreat as a yoga master, we name our guinea pig here after him. So today's Greg the Guinea Pig is Neil Juneja, who's a managing partner at Gleam Law in Seattle and a Burning Man participant for 15 years. Did I pronounce that correctly, Neil?
Yes, that is how you pronounce Burning
Man. Awesome. Welcome to the Leaf Life podcast, brother.
Why, thank you for having me.
All right, man. So Gleam Law is a cannabis firm here in the state of Washington, right? You represent a lot of different cannabis companies?
Oh, absolutely. Anything from credit unions to the retailers or dispensaries for out-of-state people, producers, processors. We have clients in the industry in 43 states and on 5 continents.
Well, let's see if this attorney can still handle his elocution after getting high. Let's spin Stash's wheel to see what's in Stash's stash.
And now, what's in Stash's stash? Will it land on the nug jug, the dab saucer, the vape cart, the edible, the infused drink, the inhaler, or the suppository?
You know, Neil, there are so many different options to get weed into your system. It's completely arbitrary at what we're going to have you try here on the show. And Stash is the founder of Stash's Stash.
Yeah, we got a sauce, a disposable vape cart.
Oh, yeah, that's a California company sauce. That's
Sauce Essential.
That's a cool looking fucking vape cart right there. And it's disposable. It's orange.
But it also looks like you could charge it. Like if you don't finish it.
Oh, does it have a charger on there? Most disposables just come with a battery included, and you don't charge. You just run out of weed before you charge it, and then you toss it. This one has a charger?
Jack Diesel Live Resin.
Ooh.
Huge.
And it is rechargeable.
Okay. There you go, Neil.
Very interesting.
You got to take the mouth tip off.
All right.
And there it is. Orange and saucy.
Ooh.
Sauce is a big company down in California. Tasty, brother.
It's very good.
All right. But we're in the state of Washington here in Seattle in the Georgetown area just south of the stadiums at Leaf HQ. So, what is the burn? I feel like the show is already over. You guys done? All right,
no,
we're going to talk
I'm ready.
About it.
No, I want to hear about this.
I mean, we can go over the statistics first. You got it. 80,000 people in an empty canvas desert, one of the harshest places on Earth. For 1 week a year, we have a postal service. We have an FAA-approved airport if you want to land in the desert. We've got a DPW with heavy machinery. We've got roads. We have our own version of cops as well as actual cops.
I like the way he says we.
Yeah.
We.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all of us.
Correct.
You know, everybody is a participant. Nobody's supposed to be a spectator. So unlike a festival that you're going to find where you go and enjoy the music, you go to this and you build that. All that's provided are porta potties and basically roads. And that's it. So you can bring certain vehicles, but you have to go through the DMV to license them, the Department of Mutant Vehicles, which requires that they're mutated enough, and then you can drive following certain rules and speed limits.
That look like floats.
You don't really want to judge somebody's art. So the main thing is they shouldn't look like the donor vehicle. So for instance, mine looks like a metal shark fin that you may have seen. It's actually getting printed in a new book called... Mutant Vehicles, actually.
Wow.
Up here in Washington, you see these art cars around sometimes.
Yes.
So that's like the new art car.
Well, I would think that we invented art on a car.
And also, you say it's like a whole city that gets built out of nowhere. I mean, that's huge logistics to support 80,000 people. And they're all going to be tripping, doing drugs, right?
Well, allegedly, it's a very tolerant place. So whatever people want to do is accepted there. To look at how hard it is, it was canceled for COVID. And the following year, everybody just cracked and said, we're doing this anyways. So I was part of the small team that put that together. We actually have a Netflix special coming out next year on it. And we set up triage, medical stations, had to figure out bathrooms, showers, as well as deal with any unexpected issue, except for gates and things of that nature.
Wow.
And it's a heavy load. So right now, there should be people getting out to the playa in the next couple months to start working on it. And then when it's over, the week culminating in Labor Day, people spend months out there restoring this empty alkaline desert to a pristine area. So one of the tenets is leave no trace. So it's there's 10 general tenets.
Yeah, I'm looking at them right now, actually. It's guided by
research.
10 principles, radical inclusion, gifting, demodification, or
decommodification, commodities.
Decommodification,
yeah.
Sorry. right? No commodities, right? No cash. Radical self-reliance, radical self-expression, communal effort, civic responsibility, leaving no trace, which you just mentioned, participation, and immediacy are the 10 tenets.
Yeah, and I think we could delve into gifting.
Well, I'm just wondering, this is very cool, love the tenants, but what's the purpose?
I mean, what's the purpose of anything you do in life?
Oh, don't get cosmic on me.
No, do get cosmic. I get that. Correct.
But I mean, is it just to do it?
But here's the thing. Well, NPR, sorry for interrupting, did a write-up about it. And when they interviewed like one of the top guys, their answer is, we rely on the why not and not the why.
There's definitely some to it there. I mean, one of the things that's really a big part of this is the fleeting nature of everything. So a lot of the art structures, the man itself.
The man is the effigy that is burned. Yeah. It's erected and it's gorgeous and it's really progressed over the years into something amazing. And then at the very end of the festival, they burn the fucker down.
Absolutely. And then the next day, there's a temple. So there's been a number of traditions that have built over the years. So they build a massive temple that's it's for letting go. So you'll see people there crying and putting down things they want to leave or people's ashes or what have you. And then they burn that and that's the end. So a lot of this immediacy from that tenet that you mentioned, it is that and the understanding that things must come, and we built this giant, massive city, you know, one of the largest cities in Nevada, 1 week a year, population zero the next week. And then we end it, and we burn it down, and there's definitely a limited time of this excess.
A metaphor for the ephemeral qualities of life in itself, which is in itself also an art piece, an art installation, maybe the largest on the planet.
And nobody's making money off of it, like the way that someone makes money off Electric Daisy. carnival or some, you know, one of these huge festivals?
Absolutely not. So the gifting concept is, it's not barter and it's not money. There's nothing you can buy there. It's a gifting-based economy. So, for instance, people provide each other things, and you're still supposed to be radically self-reliant, another tenant. But you can walk around with a cup, leave no trace. Nobody's going to give you one. And people, in order to participate and give, will set up bars to make you a drink. Or there may be lots of other things. There's one year something called, you know, Dance Dance Revolution, where you dance.
Yeah,
this is called
yeah.
Dance Dance Immolation. So they would dress you in these fire suits and shoot you with flamethrowers if you missed. Allegedly, it turns out they just shot anybody they didn't like, but whatever.
Okay, I like that.
I mean, it's screwball according to conventional standards.
About, society yeah. doesn't take Burning Man seriously. Like, when I first heard about Burning Man as a teenager, mm-hmm. it was like, my dad was like, oh, these fuck the man, you know, hippies and anarchists go in the desert and fuck off. And then in college, I met people who had gone. And I was like, oh, it's arts and it's yeah. culture.
It's
and
an
it's
alternative
music,
society.
And it's sex and it's every expression.
And why
expression.
Haven't we implemented that into normal society after 36 years?
Normal, regular, civilized humans aren't going to do that. That's
but can't
tribal.
We take a cue
well, you
from
think.
It?
Absolutely, we do. So every year there's a group of mayors that come out from across the country to look at city design, okay. societal design. It's definitely a lot to learn. There's no money there, but it's goddamn expensive. Can I say that?
Yes. Yeah.
It's goddamn expensive to go. Yeah. You know, I mean,
you're run us down the list because you got to take all the water you're going to drink.
Exactly.
All the food you're going to eat.
Now,
what
exactly.
do you have to do?
Everything. But what did we do when we were individuals living in caves? We eventually formed tribes.
Right.
So that's what we do there. We call them camps. And the camps can be 5 or 6 people specializing, hey, I'll build the kitchen. Hey, maybe I'll cook the food. Hey, I'll help clean up trash. To, you know, my groups are 200 people large. So we've got separate fuel depots. We've got our own trenchers. We have our own 40-foot VRs, vertical reach forklifts. We have a 200-foot crane. We don't fuck around. We come out there to build massive shit that blows your mind and have it removed in a week.
Wow.
And we do it while drinking. Well, not the power to heavy machinery.
Right.
While having fun.
And society,
chemical refreshments.
Society yeah. won't adopt it because it's not profitable?
Well, I mean.
Or realistic?
It takes. And we talk about people taking it seriously. We start planning 6 months in advance. Last year, we started planning for an event 10 months away because yeah. it takes that much coordination and weekly meetings and procurement, building of art for 6 months on end, and you think it's built. You get out there, and an 80-mile-an-hour dust storm hits,
ew.
And you know what? You got to rebuild it.
Oh,
and
wow.
You got to figure it out. You got to be prepared for anything, and that's the beauty of it. Anything can happen.
But my point is it's a society based on goodness, on helping your fellow man and doing what you have to do as a tribe to survive. And that's what I mean when I say 36 years, we still haven't changed any. We've regressed as a society in regular cities and such, and very few, from what I can see, people are taking cues from Burning Man, which has been the point all along.
People are definitely taking cues. Burning Man is flowing back into society to some regard. But some of it is the same thing that ties us together in other societies, other cultures. Everybody that goes to a dead show is in the same tribe.
Right.
It's us against the elements. We're all in the same tribe sharing for that time period. So we try not to let our anger get the best of us when we're honking at somebody on the street in regular society. And taking out that capitalist piece, setting up those tenants, those very much help.
All right. Well, hey, in the second segment, we'll talk about drugs and the role of cannabis at yeah. Burning Man. But first, Neil, it's time for you to play More Stoned Than the Stones.
Oh, Neil.
Few people have done more hard drugs than the Rolling Stones.
What's the secret?
And lived to tell the tale.
Oh, you take one of these.
You're going to love it, Neil.
This is More Stoned Than the Stones.
So, Neil, you've been around a minute, so you know who Keith Richards is, right?
Yeah, the guy who won't die.
Exactly. Yep. And we all know that he was a big partier, but just how big of a partier? True or false? Number one, while on tour with the Stones in America in the early 1970s, Keith had a relationship with a 14-year-old girl named Lori Maddox, who was a member of the GTOs, or Girls Together Outrageously, a Los Angeles clique of groupies.
I'm going to go with true.
That's actually false.
Is the name incorrect?
That was Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin.
Oh, Lord. I'm 14.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, Mary.
Jimmy. I used to really like Jimmy. Now
that
I
was
wonder.
Only 50 years ago, by the way.
I know. I remember.
Okay. 50 years is a long time ago.
Not really. Number two, in 1991, Keith was kicked out of the Stones album release party at a venue called Rebar in downtown Seattle for starting a food fight that consisted of tossing around a watermelon filled with ranch dressing.
As the law firm that dealt with Rebar, I do not believe there's a picture of that. Although, fun point, Ed Murray, the mayor, was on the cover of a flyer for being a drag queen.
I
previous
remember
Seattle
that.
Mayor.
What's that have to do with Rebar?
That's about all I can help you with.
Fair. And so, true or false?
Oh.
I'm going to go with false.
That's absolutely right.
Good job, Neil.
This was the members of Nirvana on the release of Nevermind. You know, the album was originally named Sheep. Do you know that, guys?
No.
In fact, Nevermind isn't even a real word, as grammatically, the two words should be separated, where on the album, it's one.
Wow.
All right, number three. The Muppet Show's Animal was inspired by Keith Richards.
False.
That's absolutely right.
Wow, Neil.
It was actually Mick Fleetwood. Fleetwood Mac.
That yeah. makes more sense.
However, if you're familiar drummer. With the animated band Gorillaz, fictional guitarist Murdoch Nichols is based on Keith. The character was born on 6/6/66 and sold his soul to the devil to become a rock star. You know Gorillaz, right?
Absolutely.
Don't stop, get it. Clint Eastwood, yeah. That's Damon Albarn of formerly the band called Blur. Hey, if you want to discover cannabis news, reviews, entertainment, and culture, and explore every Leaf magazine at your own fingertips, just hop over to leafmagazines.com. Coming up in part two today, we'll dive into the role of cannabis at Burning Man and maybe even other substances. And we'll get another spin of Stash's wheel and kick it all off with another episode of Not For Nothing with Mary J. White. Leaf Life continues in just a moment.
Leaf Life. These products have intoxicating effects and may be habit-forming. Marijuana can impair concentration, coordination, and judgment. Do not operate a vehicle or machinery under the influence of this drug. There may be health risks associated with consumption of this product. For use by adults 21 and older, keep out of the reach of children.
Avidis, known for their CO2 hash oil. It feels good to feel good. Avidis always starts with 100% natural, sustainably grown, pesticide-free cannabis. Avidis never uses any flavorings, colorings, or additives in their oils. Just pure goodness. Their single-strain oils are small-batch crafted to maintain each strain's unique aroma and flavor. Experience Avidis fine products at your favorite cannabis retailers in Oregon and Washington. And visit them at avidisgrown.com.
Oh, hell yes. It's time for you to get Hellevated.
Hellevated.
Hellevated is the 800-pound gorilla on the block. It's crafted for cannabis connoisseurs looking for a high THC flavor explosion. Hellevated is a pesticide-free flavored cannabis distillate created from proprietary natural flavors and terps. Hella good products. Hella good times. Potent. Tasty. Hella fun. Go to Hellevated.com for your store locator, or for brand licensing opportunities, reach out to sales at Hellevated.com.
When your joints are aching for relief, you want Fairwinds Flow CBD, the pain relief cream that supports fast-acting and long-lasting relief while simultaneously promoting healthy skin. It really is a topical that does it all. Plus, for the first time ever, you can now order Fairwinds Flow CBD Cream directly to your front door. That's right, Fairwinds Flow Cream has been the best-selling CBD topical in Washington State for 2 years running, and now it's available online. Visit fairwindscbd.com for more info about their wide range of wellness products and how you can feel the flow. That's fairwindscbd.com.
Some of the wardrobe, including Ricker Wes's sick lids, is provided by Grassroots California. Check out the dopeness at grassrootscalifornia.com.
You're listening to Leaf Life.
Welcome to the second half of this Leaf Life show called Burning Man. In just a moment, we'll dig deeper into the role cannabis plays at the festival, and we'll spin Stash's wheel to see what products Neil Juneja, who is a managing partner at Gleam Law in Seattle and a Burning Man participant for 15 years, this show's Greg the Guinea Pig, is going to be trying next. But first, it's time for Not For Nothing.
Well, not for nothing. I couldn't help but think it. Not for nothing.
Mary J. White, this has absolutely nothing to do with cannabis.
Nothing at all, baby.
Gotta break it up once in a while, you know?
Yes. Right. And this is a drastic story.
Drastic.
Hooligans, my friends, hooligans have been intimidating the residents of beautiful Woburn, Massachusetts. Oh, yes, Woburn. Mm. And the leader of this gang is a criminal called Kevin. Okay. Yeah.
Now, not a very gangster name.
I know. It's not gangster. It's gangster. But they have been spending a lot of time at this woman's home. She didn't invite them. They just go there. Megan Tolson. Okay. Now, Tolson, who named Kevin, she says he's the bad egg among the otherwise all-female turkey crew. The women, the female turkeys, are more mellow and not so territorial as Kevin. But she says she thinks he amps the ladies up, so they chase people. Apparently, it's gotten so bad that this lovely lady, Megan Tolson, she can't get out of her house sometimes because Kevin won't let me out of my house. That's what she said. So it's a turkey problem in Woburn, Mass. And I just wanted you to know about it.
There's turkeys everywhere?
Yeah. Yeah. In Massachusetts. And they're holding people hostage.
They're aggressive.
Homes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a turkey emergency.
It is a turkey emergency. God damn it.
Sounds like a Burning Man idea, bro.
Oh, please don't. Nobody even likes turkey on Thanksgiving.
Oh. Tell that to a bearded Lorax.
I go turducken.
If so. It was so good, why do we only eat it once a year?
Well, because it's good a point. Pain in the ass to cook a big damn bird.
That doesn't taste very good.
You got to cut it up. We'll talk.
Yeah, I've got a chainsaw.
We'll talk. No, oh God, never mind.
All right, let's spin Stash's wheel to see what's in Stash's stash. Thank you, Mary, for
certainly.
That.
Certainly.
Not for
Not for nothing.
Nothing to do with cannabis.
Nope.
Absolutely nothing. Oh, nope. Stash is trying to get the package open.
Oh, I man. I don't have sharp enough nails.
You know, this child fruit packaging, though, it's really become a problem for me. You know? As I age, it's harder and harder to open shit up.
So this is sauce once again, right, Stash? What do we got?
They don't make, like, alcohol childproof.
Yeah, the sauce bar sauce from California. This is their granddaddy purple.
Okay. There
Can
we
you
go.
Imagine if there was, like, a Got complicated, like, process to take a shot?
Oh, God, like, yeah.
How hard it would be to get
that
the bottle
would be
open.
Hard.
Like, press here and twist
and
there.
Twist and press down.
There you go.
They make it hard for us stoners.
Oh, you weren't going to smoke, were you, Neil? Ah, you broke
no.
Rule.
Now you are.
Well, we could have called in a pinch hitter for you, no problem.
I love the fact that these disposable vapes are not, they're beautiful, but they're rechargeable.
Yes.
Which is so weird, really.
It is.
I mean, if you can't finish it in one charge.
You're an amateur.
Then you got to recharge it. There you I mean, go.
In all fairness, I lose my live rosin vapes before I finish them and have to keep buying them. Yeah. And a new battery.
You
got to
get a little
time.
Case for them, man, and keep them all in the same pile.
That's a bigger thing to lose, but I'll do it.
Fair.
Didn't you just forget yours in Vegas?
I left it in the back of a taxi cab as I was being mauled by a girl.
I saw that picture on Instagram. Mm-hmm.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fair. Neil, so if you brought this vape cart to Burning Man and you got caught with it by one of the Burning Man police, you would be ejected from the festival. Tell me if I'm wrong, please.
Slightly right. So I mentioned we have our own cops. We call them Rangers. They bridge the gap between the burners or the participants and the actual cops, which are BLM officers, those are feds, as well as it spans two counties. So it all depends who the mayor is at the time. BLM is actually pretty cool people the last time, number of times I've dealt with them, but it varies. In which case, it's federal land. It's illegal under Schedule 1 of the Controlled Substances Act.
Oh.
So they will ticket you right there, and it's a misdemeanor, and then you've got to go fight it. They won't take you off property, though. There's very few arrests. I think we're in single digits numbers of arrests, and they're usually serious crimes.
So is it mainly like smoking weed that would be frowned on? Like, because of the smoke, in the same way, like, you could take a drug, but if you were freebasing it, you might be told to stop.
Oh, I see.
Like, is it the public display of it that's the issue, not being on it?
No, it's the legality. Being on it isn't really an issue. It's okay. Consuming it in public can get you into some trouble. And that's really the easiest drug to see on anyone, right? Is somebody smoking a joint.
We stand out. Especially if it's good. Well, because it smells.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then there's trash, too. Mm-hmm. I think about all the Q-tips that get left at the average, like, weed sesh.
Not everybody's that anal roughing it for a week in the desert.
Yeah, you got to be a little more self-reliant.
Mm-hmm. What about other drugs? They're acceptable, right? I mean, people are on Molly all over the place. What about a dude who's cross-eyed and crooked-jawed because he just did a big old fat gacker up his nostril in his tent, and now he comes out and he's visibly altered?
I mean, that it's a very tolerant place. Nobody minds you smoke cannabis there. It's only if the cops mind, and they are around. And I mean, our sunrise parties are 20, 30,000 people around giant stages 2 miles out in the desert. So you walk out in the middle of the dark, 2 miles, and there's a massive stage to make EDC look jealous.
Wow.
And then it drives away.
Separate of the main
It's event. Part of the event. We all bring everything. There must be 200 stages there.
That's wild.
So you're, you know, in a way, and don't take this personally or anything, I feel as though you're defending the fact that cannabis is not really tolerated there, or you can get in big trouble, and that's a rightful reason because it's on federal land. It's also on state land, which is... You know, I don't want to get...
Well, no, there's no...
It's called federal preemption.
Yeah, it's federal
land. I mean, in the end, it's not frowned upon by the society. It's the easiest thing for cops to find, so you shouldn't do it in public. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody else is doing any other drugs in public if they are allegedly doing drugs, which I'm not claiming anybody at Burning Man does drugs.
So then the role of cannabis on Burning Man, it's obviously an art installation, the largest in the world, potentially. Cannabis has to fuel the creativity to some degree. So that said, what is the mindset, the perception of people, the artists who use cannabis at home to make some of these installations to bring to Burning Man? Do they admit and do they admire the fact that it may have been driven by the use of cannabis?
I'm sure they're totally fine with it. If you refer to the tenet of radical self-inclusion, it's one tribe, right?
Yeah.
So everything's basically fine there. That's what makes it a free society, is we don't look down on people for how they choose to live their life or do their art.
It's just I think, because Ricker's trying to tie everything back to cannabis because we're a cannabis media company.
Sure.
But it's a reality of the location and the process.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And I also think, like, cannabis isn't necessarily like a rave drug.
Right.
Like, if I'm going to EDC or a huge rave, I might bring a couple pre-rolls, but I'm not packing my dab rig and flavors of rosin and all the things I might take somewhere else, because you're going to be doing other recreational activities. You're too busy to smoke weed. It's not as important in that moment. But then when you're coming down.
Yes.
And you're coming back after that week, I bet cannabis is great to heal and relax and like come off of a week of
Molly
and a week of that and having to kind of survive.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, be a little raw in the wild.
I mean, everything's
wash
out
sand
there.
Out of places.
You got to look at the historical, though, to understand the cannabis involvement of Burning Man. Is it started 30, 35 years ago from pranksters, and then it became rather hippie-ish. Then it got taken over by the ravers. Now it's more techie. Now, during each of those phases, what's interesting is during about the rave phase, most of the money for these camps and these art projects came in from cannabis. It came in from the black market sales in cannabis in California.
Because they had the money to blow.
I had a friend that spent $200,000 one year just building his crazy camp with 3-story playgrounds and things of that nature. So it's a huge influence. I mean, I'm not saying it's looked down upon or it's not there. It's fundamental, right? And now it's much more techie-ish, tech money. Definitely has a shift into Trustafarians or, you know, rich bougie people. I really like the cannabis influence much more.
So how much does it cost to get a ticket? And you can't just get a ticket. It's kind of like Taylor Swift and Ticketmaster.
It's worse. You can't get a ticket. It's right? difficult. There's low-income tickets. They're probably like $150 you can apply for them. That's not hard. They issue tickets to people who have historical making of art that matters, but you still have to buy them. So an average ticket is $450-$500 plus the fees. That would be like Ticketmaster. Nevada added in a tax for entertainment that applies only to Burning Man. That's like $100 or $150. And then your credit card fees, etc. Or you can buy the $1,500 or $2,500 tickets early. And most of that money gets donated to art grants.
Got
okay,
it.
Okay, well, so that's cool.
If yeah. you want to get in line, that's a good way to, like,
But there has to be a way for someone to go. There has to be some ticket available, correct?
Yeah. I mean, most of the tickets get issued out to what's called theme camps, the camps the tribes I told you about, that bring it, that build out on Main Street and have stages and bars and art pieces and fire and lots of much of what we give these types of things for our participation, not, hey, watch a movie, or hey, it's just a stage, but something where everybody participates in order to create the art, if you will.
Wow. And so it's inclusive in that sense. You need to be invited.
You need to provide really participation. Yeah, in a sense you do, or you just start meeting some people and, you know, work your way in. Or there's the lottery system. But out of 80,000 tickets, I think we counted like 5,750 tickets went out on it. So it was really limited.
Yeah, and you don't really want to go by yourself.
You can.
But, I mean, it's better to go with a camp, and you can be the orange juice person or the propane person instead of the bring everything person. Yeah. That sounds intense.
Well, I mean, we can camp out. I'm sure all of us here can camp out for a week in the forest. It's not that different.
It's hot and dirty.
No, not just that. At night, it's freezing.
Oh, great. Imagine you're on drugs and it's like 80 degrees and then it's like 40 degrees. And you're like,
it's brutal.
So you got to pack for a dust storm.
Goggles.
It's hot with goggles, and you have to pack for winter.
I'm in. Let's do it.
There was one year it rained, and it's rained a number of times, but just a half an inch, it turns into a lake. Oh. So you can see the water. It's an alkaline dust that does not take a ground rod for generators, which means when lightning hit the surface, I was there at the time, it spread across the lake and went up people's feet.
Oh, my God.
And some guy had a burn that matched his shitty Crocs.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's the real burn.
No kidding.
It's an adventure. Oh. Yeah.
Well, we all want to go, so can we come into your camp in September?
Absolutely.
I'll be the snack mom.
Absolutely. I need you.
All right, Neil, now it's time for you to play Don't Make It Weird.
Make it weird.
Don't make it weird.
Make it weird. You're going to make it weird.
Don't make it weird.
Mary loves this game.
Neil, you just got, like, your whole demeanor just changed as soon as I said don't make it weird. Like, in a defensive mode.
Well, he knows that shit can get weird.
He's like, all right, he already called me out on weed at Burning Man. Now he's going to, look, he's an attorney. He's like, do I need to make a phone call? Uh-huh. Do I need to record this?
You did publicly make me hit this vaporizer. Schedule 1 illegal narcotic under federal law. Thank you very much.
Good thing we're not a Burning Man. Okay. Whatever you do, Rome, don't make it weird.
Yeah.
Number one, why hasn't Gleam Law attempted to poach us from our current representation of Cultiva Law Firm?
Well, I mean we have mutual respect. Although we are the best law firm, we don't go ahead and... Do you steal another dealer's customer?
It's getting weird, Wes.
There's some rules.
I'm a little uncomfortable by the whole discussion. I don't really like to even... Don't make it
weird.
That.
It's weird now. You Thanks, made Josh. It weird, Neil.
Thanks. Okay,
nice
number
job,
two, Neil.
Buddy. God.
Last summer...
I'm sorry to take a step back. While we are talking about this, we should talk.
Let's get a card. We'll slide in some Burning Man action make a deal. That's not weird at all.
All right, number two. Last summer, I attended a party at your amazing multi-level house overlooking beautiful Lake Union in downtown Seattle.
Damn.
Was there anything illegal being consumed at that party by any of your guests?
I mean, I did not check every guest, we're a very tolerant community. I mean, cannabis is legal. The flamethrowers and fireballs going off the front porch to stop the highway was a problem, it turns out.
Huh. At like 5 or 6 in the morning, which is until the party went.
Jesus.
With a hot tub.
I wonder.
It went later.
Sounds like a lot of sober people.
No, I didn't. I didn't get an invite.
They were just drinking coffee. Don't worry about it.
Oh, nice, though. Nice. Don't invite the cute chicks. It's great.
Now it's weird.
Can I trade you guys for these two?
Absolutely. I would not blame you.
Not. All right, number 3. As you have notoriously invited just about anyone who wants to join your troop for an amazing, memorable gathering at Burning Man every year, is the main reason you haven't invited the bearded Lorax because you're afraid he may infest the camp with lice?
Dead on.
Neil. Oh, buddy.
Don't make it weird.
He got rid of the lice months ago, man. He's okay now.
And the latest issue's been fleas.
Now you made it weird.
Very weird. Neil, where can we find you on social media?
I mean, you can Google Gleam Law. If you want to hit the website and see all of our social media, just go to gleamlaw.com or asshole.
G-L-E-A-M.
Like the gleam in your eye.
Okay.
Or assholeattorney.com or assholelawyer.com.
Oh, my God, I like you now.
What about your personal?
Oh, no? He doesn't want to give that out.
Use your Google Foo.
Fair.
Nice.
Thank you so much for being on the Leaf Life podcast. This is great, man.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Wes, how you feeling, bud?
I'm ready to burn.
Download this and all Leaf Life episodes at leafmagazines.com. You can listen to every Leaf Life podcast show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, and YouTube. Just look us up at Leaf Life Podcast V2. Now here comes another episode of Stony Baloney, which is also available at leafmagazines.com. And please be kind to animals.
Your hosts for Leaf Life are Mike Rigger and Wes Abney. Leaf Life is produced by Mike Daly. Some of the music heard is provided by purple-planet.com. Every bit of cannabis you use is female, so please, respect the ladies. Leaf Life is brought to you by Leaf Nation, featuring Alaska Leaf, Oregon Leaf, Northwest Leaf, Northeast Leaf, Maryland Leaf, and California Leaf. On the shelf now in your local retailer. Please stay tuned now for this week's edition of Stony Baloney by Mike Rigger.
Stony Baloney by Mike Rigger.
Rubber duckies are dope. Apart from the disturbing fact that the drakes are verified gang rapists, these birds are quite wonderful. I know that sounds like a heavy contradiction, but every species has its system for making babies, and we are not ones to judge the unspoken rules of natural selection. Don't cancel Donald Duck! All unsolicited advances aside, we dig these feathered fowl so much that they've remained some of the most likable characters of all time. They're cool and cute, so of course we would want to animate this tail-shaking, web-footed waddler into any activity where there's water. And certainly, that does not exclude the most imperative of all sanctuaries known to children, the bathtub. No kid wants to rub-a-dub-dub with 3 men in their tub when a flock of pint-sized polymer pets provide all the imagination necessary to make a silly splash. And with a squeak of approval, they are ready and willing to take every cue from a slap-happy youngster who would otherwise be fiddling with their wiener. Since the 1930s, there have been countless gimmicky toys with their mechanical means of moving and talking and squawking, but few reflect the simplicity of early life as these elastic quackers. Because when it's time to enter the warmth of water with bobbles and bubbles, they accentuate the exciting invitation to playfully pretend. And who can forget Bert and Ernie expressing their musical affection for these plastic rascals? It's easy to say that no plaything has been loved longer than these buoyant birds. And they are the safest toy in the tub. Babies even chew on them. Adults wouldn't chew on them. Unless you made them into an infused gummy.
Stony Baloney.